I'd just like to remind you that was a pre-recording of the choir singing in the church here in Macrofelt. I would just like to concur with the words of welcome that you have received already from your minister, the Reverend Ryan McKee, and just say how glad we are to be here, and also to thank you sincerely for tuning in tonight to the live broadcast. I know we don't have many present in the House of God, but we do have a virtual congregation spread across our province, down into the south of Ireland, no doubt onto mainland Britain, Europe, and right across the continents of the earth. And we know from some of the feedback that we have received already from last night, and no doubt this incoming week, that there is a worldwide audience, a community of individuals out there that are tuning in. And therefore, I would like just to speak sincerely and humbly to your heart and thank you for joining with us. And we trust God will bless you as you listen to the Word of God, as you hear the preaching of the gospel. And we trust the Lord will bless that word to your heart. And if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your own and your personal Savior, as the choir were singing, you're not ready to meet him in the glory land, that you might come and repent of your sin and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who became a true man and died as the substitute on the cross to pay the price for sin in the shedding of his crimson ruby royal blood, and then finished the work of our redemption and was raised again for our justification. We pray God will speak to your heart. And if you don't know Christ, he would save you. And if you are a believer, maybe cold at heart, maybe at a distance from the Lord, may this be a mission for you, whereby the Spirit of God will work in your heart, work in your soul, and bring you back to first love again. And then if you are saved, going on with the Lord, may the gospel thrill your heart. As you hear what the Lord hath done for your soul, may it inspire and encourage and bring you to that full commitment whereby you will surrender all of your life, every piece, like Elijah did, on the altar. And then the fire of God will fall. Do pray for these meetings. I know that you're at home, but you can still share on Facebook. You can give a link to someone by way of a text message or WhatsApp or some other means through social media. But communicate, I believe, these meetings out, and God will bless. And I trust you'll do that. And could you pray, please? Pray God will bless the preaching of the word. We need your prayers, and we are not too proud to ask for those prayers. We've prayed for ourselves today and for you. Now I'm asking you to continue to pray. Set aside time each day that you might seek the Lord for blessing and for the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. I invite you, please, to take your Bible, and I trust you will do that, even though you're at home or wherever you are. Just take your Bible now and turn with me to Philippians and the chapter 4, Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, and we want to commence to read at the very first verse. Philippians 4 verse 1, let us all hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true young fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 7. And we know the Lord will bless this brief but public reading from his own precious and infallible word. God has burdened my heart tonight with a little phrase from this fourth chapter and part of verse 3 of the epistle to the church at Philippi. Paul speaks of individuals in this chapter, And he speaks in verse 3 of those whose names are in the book of life. And that's the burden of my message this evening. That little phrase in Philippians 4 and verse 3, whose names are in the book of life. With God's word open before us, we'd like to take time to seek the Lord's face again in prayer. And we'd ask you to join with us at the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace now to help in our time of need. Let us all pray. Our gracious and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the singing of these hymns. We thank Thee, Lord, for that great hymn that was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, that happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. And we thank Thee, O God, with the choir that many can sing, I am ready for the glory land, that we are prepared to meet the Lord, that we're ready for that day that will bring exposure for sin because we're sheltered beneath the blood. We thank Thee we have a refuge and a covert in the finished work of the cross, and we're resting, trusting in completely all that Christ has done for us at Calvary. But we think of those tonight who are out of Christ without a Saviour, and as yet, Lord, they do not possess eternal life. Their names are not written in heaven. They are not born again. They have never been converted. They're not saved. They're still in their sin. They're out of Christ, and we pray, O God, that this night, through the preaching of Thy word, which we heard read there in the book of Romans, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we do pray, O God, and we concur with those opening remarks in the prayer, that the gifts of repentance unto life and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ would be graciously bestowed upon lost souls, that sinners would truly repent and turn from their sin, that they might come by faith alone to Christ alone and be saved. We pray to this end, Almighty God, that Thou would bless the preaching of the old evangel. Give to me, Thy servant, now the cleansing power of the blood applied. I appropriate the value and virtue, vitality, and the victory of the precious blood of the Lamb. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for the pardoning grace of God, for the cleansing, healing stream of the precious blood to be applied. And I pray, Lord, the vessel cleansed now by precious blood, Thou wouldst then fill with Thy Spirit. Give to me that anointing, that baptism, that endowment of power from on high. I pray, Father, in Jesus' precious and peerless name, for His eternal glory, for the infilling with wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit of promise. And Father, in answer now to prayer, save the lost, restore the backslider, revive the church, glorify Thy Son, for we ask these things with thanksgiving in His precious and most worthy name. Amen. James Milton Black may not be a name that you have heard of, but you'll soon be able to recognize his name and associate him with some of the great hymns in our hymn book. But James Milton Black was born on August the 19th, 1856, in South Hill, New York. He acquired an early musical education in singing and organ playing. Around 1881, he moved to a place called Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where he carried on Christian work and service in connection with the Methodist Church, teaching music during the week. He was a song leader. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was also a youth leader in his local church. And those spare hours that he had were all spent in the local church serving the Lord. In addition to all of this work, he also was able in his day to edit many of the hymn books or hymnals that were available to the local churches. He loved children and young people, and he tried as best as he could to win many of those children and those young people to Christ. On one occasion, he was walking down the street, and he looked down a little alleyway, and he saw a ragged 14-year-old little girl called Bessie. He invited this little girl along to his Sunday school class and to the youth meetings, and she came. Her father was an alcoholic, and he took care of her and looked after her in a measure spiritually, that she might come to know Christ as her Savior. at all of James Milton Black's meetings. He had a roll call. In other words, each child, whenever their name was called, they would have shouted here or present. And then they were stood up and they quoted a scripture verse and they were given a mark. Ever on one day, whenever the roll was called, young Bessie did not respond. James Milton Black saw a little spiritual lesson there for the boys and girls. And while we may not always see things theologically in some of the little lessons that people have, but nevertheless, it still spoke to these young people. For he said in the silence, what a sad thing it would be, boys and girls and young people, if names are called out from the Lamb's Book of Life, and one of you young people would not be present. He was not that kind of man just to let the matter sit with a little spiritual or moral lesson. Now, after Sunday school, he went round to Bessie's house. Knowing the condition of her home and the character of her father, he still went round, and because she had not showed up for Sunday school and class, he was concerned for this young girl. He found her at home, dangerously ill, and he sent for his own doctor. They still made house calls in those days. The doctor said that she had pneumonia. Since that was before the days of antibiotics, death was highly likely for this young girl. Sadly, 10 days after that visit, Bessie, that 14-year-old ragged little girl, passed away. James Black returned home and he tried through all the hymnals to find a song to fit the thought of a heavenly roll call. But he could not locate one single song or hymn in the present-day hymnals that he possessed. And then her voice seemed to say to him, well, why don't you write one? And that's exactly what he did. And it goes like this. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there when the roll is called up yonder. 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 I'll be there. He said, I played the music just as it was found today in your hymn book. Note for note. I have never dared to change a single word or a note of the song, he said. A few days after he had written that masterpiece and that gospel song, he had the opportunity of explaining publicly how he came to write the song, because it was sung for the first time in public at the funeral of that 14-year-old girl, Bessie, whose absence from Sunday school had inspired the writing of that great hymn. And my friend, I want to tell you that God has a book. In it are recorded all the names of those who have been saved by God's grace, those names of all who have been born of God's Spirit and washed in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women, young people, boys and girls, from the beginning of time right up until the second coming and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have repented of their sin, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in Him alone for salvation. Their names are written down on those pages bright and fair. Their names are written in heaven. Their names are inscribed indelibly in God's book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. And I don't want to get into controversy. I don't want to get into some dispute tonight, whether there are two books or one book, and whether your name's in it before the foundation of the earth, or your name's inscribed whenever you get saved. I want just to say to you tonight, with this message in mind, whose names are in the book of life, that there is a book. And I believe that one day there will be a heavenly roll call. And I wonder when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. Will you be there? Will your name be read? Will you answer present when the roll is called? Will you be pure and spotless in the crimson flood? Will your name be there because there was a time in your life when you acknowledged you were a sinner? when you repented of your sin, when you believed Jesus was the Son of God who became the Son of Man and lived a perfectly sinless life and died an atoning death at Calvary and rose from the dead, and God has accepted the sacrifice of the cross, and you now are resting, trusting in the finished work and precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Will you answer present or here because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation? You know, at our monthly presbytery meetings, although they had been suspended for a little season, they have recommenced this Friday night in the will of the Lord in our church in Ballymena. And there will be a gathering of a few hundred men from presbytery. And during that meeting, many things take place, but one thing takes place. There's a roll call to see who's present and who's absent. And the name of the church is called out. And either the clerk of session, mostly the minister, would shout out, "Here," and they would be marked down as present. And there's some times whenever a church has been called out, and there's silence. And I've often wondered in that silence, I wonder where they are. I wonder why they're not present. Now, can you imagine, my friend, and I don't want to get into any theological controversy, can you imagine if your name was not found in the book of life and it was never mentioned in heaven? And you would not be there when the roll is called because you died without Christ. You died without God, without hope, and without blood, and without salvation. You died in your sin, and where Jesus says you'll never be, and you're not numbered amongst those that are saved by grace. You're not, as the great hymn tells us, counted in, numbered amongst the redeemed and the saved of the earth. Be sure, my friend, before it's too late, death comes or Christ returns again, that your name is in the book of life, that your name is inscribed in the Lamb's book of life by coming now to Christ, repenting of all your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So I want to take up our text tonight. It will form the burden of my message. Verse 3 in that little phrase in Philippians 4. Whose names are in the book of life? Now think first of all of the diversity of the names written in the book of life. See, it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul begins to mention some of those individuals whose names are in the book of life. Now how did he know their names were in the book of life? Has he looked into God's book? No, he hasn't. Has he somehow been given a revelation that other people haven't? No. He says their names are in the book of life because there was a definitive moment, a specific time in the life of these fellow workers and these yoke fellows and these women and Clement and many others that Paul had along with him in his missionary journeys and in his ministry to the churches. And he knew, like himself, there was a definitive moment and time in their lives when they, as sinners, came to Christ. They were saved by God's grace, and their lives have given evidence of that grace and that change and that transformation. And Paul was able to look at their lives and see in them the grace of God. And he's able to say, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, whose names are in the book of life. I want to think of the diversity of the names that are written in this book. It's remarkable, you know, we don't have the full list here, but if you follow through Paul's writings, you will get a varied list of individuals. Now, if we commence where Paul has commenced, and that is in the church of Philippi, I remind you that it says there in verse 3, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women whose names are in the book of life." And one of those ladies was a woman called Lydia. The Bible tells me when he first went to Philippi, before the church was ever formed there, that he went to the riverside and he went to a place where prayer was wont to be made. And along came a lady called Lydia, a very devout, a very religious woman. She believed in God, but she wasn't saved. And the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul, and she was converted that day, and now her name is written in the book of life. Do you see the connection? Your name can only be there when you're saved, when you're born again, when you're converted to Christ. And one of those women was a religious lady. The diversity is there. She was a devout lady, but she wasn't a saved lady. She was a good person. She was a wealthy person. And people in Bible times, in Paul's day and our Lord's day, believed foolishly that rich people were blessed of God and they inherited the kingdom of God. But that is not true. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's the kind of person that enters into the kingdom of God. Wealth does not bring you to heaven or even happiness on earth. I want to tell you that Lydia was a woman of means and a woman of wealth, but she didn't know the Lord. And that day she heard the gospel preached by the apostle Paul, the greatest preacher apart from our Lord upon planet earth. And as he expounded Christ and her need of him, the Lord opened her heart and the Spirit of God worked. And her name was written in the book of life, it tells us here in Philippians 4:3. I want to tell you someone else who was in the church at Philippi, the Philippian jailer. And what a contrast. What a diversity of characters and people here. Here's a religious lady, and her name's in the book of life. But here's a cruel, wicked jailer, a man who cared for no one but himself. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that he held them fast in the stocks. And these men were suffering. He didn't tend to their wounds. He put his feet up. He leaned back in an old rickety chair. And in the darkness with a little lantern or candle burning, he fell asleep. Most likely, I would suggest to you that this man fell asleep at all occasions. And he pampered to the flesh. And then came the earthquake. And he bounced up and he realized that they had escaped and he was about to fall on his sword until he heard that voice from the inner cell. And Paul says, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And they came marching in and he brought a light and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want to tell you, his name that day was written in the Lamb's book of life. In the book of life, I want to tell you that there were others, and we think of Clement here. We're not sure exactly who this man was. We think of other women as well that are mentioned. We think of fellow laborers, as Paul calls them. What about Onesimus? He was a runaway slave, and that's where you get the book of Philemon from. Onesimus was under his master Philemon, and he ran away. Paul met him, most likely, in prison. When Paul was imprisoned, or else he came to see Paul, we're not sure. But we know this, that Paul witnessed to him. Paul pointed him to the Lord. He calls him my son Onesimus, the son in the faith. And he sent him back to Philemon with a letter. And that's where you get the letter to Philemon in the New Testament from. The conversion of Onesimus, a runaway slave, a man that was under the sentence of death. And he found life in Christ. And he became, and his name means useless or unprofitable. And there was a time when he was unprofitable. But now he's profitable in the Lord's work. The runaway slave with the sentence of death written over his head was pointed to Christ, and his name's in the book of life. Oh, the diversity of those names. Aristarchus, he was a convert, did you know, from idolatry in Thessalonica. He was one of the converts of the church in Thessalonica when Paul marched in there to Macedonia and into that region. And he started to preach in those great cities. And many trusted the Lord. An individual called Aristarchus, a man converted from idolatry and paganism, who faithfully accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys. Tychicus, he was a convert to Christ from Asia Minor. And perhaps steeped in the false religions and pagan doctrines of that godless area. And yet he was converted to Christ. Barnabas, there's another individual whose name is in the book of life. He was a Levite. He was a Jew. But he didn't know the Lord. He was of the priestly tribe of the Levites, responsible for the temple sacrifices and the administration of the law of God. Yet he was unconverted, only knowing Christ in recent times. And he came to know Christ and he became a fellow laborer with Paul in the gospel, and he speaks about those women, and he speaks about Clement, and he speaks about thy true yoke fellow, and he says, my fellow laborers. And in Colossians, he mentions most of these individuals. What about Luke, who accompanied Paul as well? He was a doctor. He was a physician, well respected with social standing, yet he stood in need of a savior, a sinner lost, undone. And he came to Christ and was saved, and his name is in the book of life. Isn't it good to know? We don't want to prolong these names, but I feel I've made my point. But isn't it good to know that there is a diversity of names written in the Lamb's book of life? Is it good to know that some who even lived a moral and a good life, some who lived a wicked and cruel life, some who were perhaps kind and caring like Dr. Luke, were all born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and their names are in the book of life. And we should understand tonight this one great truth in the gospel. Our names are only in the book of life if we have been saved by God's grace, washed in the Savior's blood, and born again of the Spirit of the living God. Now tell me, is your name written in the book of life? That book is a divine record of all who have repented of their sin, have you? And all who have believed or trusted in and are resting in Christ's finished work at Calvary for their salvation alone, have you? It's not because these individuals were religious or good. It's not because they were baptized or confirmed or they went to church faithfully. They read their Bibles. They said their prayers. They gave money to worthy causes, or they helped people in charitable acts and deeds that were in need. No, it's because Christ suffered and bled and died for their sins on the cross, because they came to Him and Him alone as guilty, lost sinners, and repented of their sin, were sorry for their sin, and separated from their sin, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked Him to forgive their sin, and to cleanse them in His blood, and to come into their heart and into their life, to be their Savior from sin, and then to love Him, and to be discipled by Him, and to follow Him all their days, and to be filled with His Spirit, that they might glorify Him and witness to Him. I want to tell you, their names are written in the book of life because of that day they were saved by God's grace. Now tell me, is your name written there on those pages bright and fair? Is your name written in the book of life? Whose names are written in the book of life? And secondly, I want you to consider not only the diversity of the names that are written in this book, I want you to think of the duration of those names that are written in the book of life. We have a wonderful, I believe, insight into that book whenever we read about Moses in the book of Exodus. In the chapter 32, verses 31 to 33, we read these words, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me will I blot out of my book. They will not be found written in the book, but your name's there, Moses, and you have asked the impossible. Your name can never be taken out of the book of life. Him that has sinned against me, him will I blot out from ever being in the book of life. Any remembrance of that person on earth, cast into eternity, the place where God has forgotten to be gracious. Once the sinner's name is inscribed indelibly by the finger of grace in the Lamb's book of life, it means that that individual is a possessor of eternal life. They will never die spiritually. They will never be in hell eternally. and death will never have victory over their soul. They will live the lifetime of God. They will be saved by grace, and body and soul on the great resurrection day will enter into glory and forever be with the Lord. Again, in the book of Daniel, it is said there shall be a time of trouble. It's pointing to the end time and the coming of the Lord, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. And why? Why are they delivered? And here's what it says. Who are they that are delivered? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Everyone. They will not suffer wrath. They will not suffer judgment. There'll never come a time whenever their names will be taken out. It's a foolish notion to think you're saved one day and lost the next. One day your name's in the book of life and tomorrow it's taken out and then it's put in again and rewritten and it's taken out and put back in again. It's not. The Lord reminds us in Revelation 3, verse 5, these words, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels." And even in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 27, "There shall in no wise enter into it," that's heaven, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So it's abundantly clear from Holy Scripture that those names are in the book of life forever. They will never be blotted out. They will never be erased. Sinners who have fled to Christ for refuge, lost souls who have come to Christ for deliverance from their sin, guilty souls who have found peace through the blood of the cross, who are resting in the finished work and the substitutionary atoning work of Christ on Calvary, they will never be disappointed. They will never be let down. They will never perish. For all who have trusted in Christ and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and looked by faith alone to him for salvation, they will be in heaven. They will never be lost. Jesus said, John 10:28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." They'll never suffer one moment in hell. Not one flame of hell's fire will ever lick their feet or singe hair on their body. They will never experience the second death in the lake of fire. They will never be cut off from the Savior and his love for them. Who shall separate us, Paul tells us in that great epistle to believers at Rome, chapter 8, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he gives the list in heaven and earth, and nothing can separate between the saved sinner and their Savior. And sinner, if your name is not found written in the book of life, then you will die in your sin. You will not be delivered on that day. God makes it abundantly clear, those that are delivered, as Daniel looking forward in prophecy said, those that are delivered on that terrible day of trouble, it's the last day, it's the coming of the Lord, the judgment day. Those that are written in the book of life, those who are washed in the Lamb's blood, those that are welcomed as the Lamb's bride, those who are written in the Lamb's book. Now tell me, is your name there? Has there been a time in your life, a definitive moment, a specific hour, when you as a guilty, lost sinner looked to Christ alone for salvation and you rested and trusted in completely the finished work of Calvary, the shed blood of the Lamb, and had your name inscribed in God's eternal book? I want to tell you, if it's not so, then at death or at his coming when Christ returns, you will be shut out of heaven and God's presence forevermore. You will suffer the fire and fury of God's wrath without Christ and without hope in the world to come. You will be cast into the bottomless pit, the abyss. You will be put into the pit and to the fire and flame of an everlasting hell and into the blackness of darkness forever, such as the words that describe God's hell. How important it is, my friend, that you're saved, that you know Christ as your Savior, that you're right with God, that it's well with your soul, that you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've no false profession, just a little guarantee or a ticket for heaven, and then live as you please. Don't be going into eternity with a hope like that. I tell you, your own counsel, as Job chapter 18 tells us, his own counsel shall cast him down. How important it is that your name's written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life, that you can look back to a time. You mightn't be able to know the full date. You mightn't have it inscribed on the flyleaf of your Bible. You may not be sure of the exact year. You may not even be sure of the month or the day, but you know there was a time. You know it's happened, that you're saved and you have peace with God and you're ready to meet the Lord, and you know you have eternal life because you're born again and you're saved by sovereign grace, and you know it because the Spirit bears witness with your own spirit that you are a child of God. And you think of the duration. You need to know tonight for sure that you are resting in the finished work and precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Has he truly saved you from your sin tonight, young person, little boy or girl listening, mum or dad? Tell me. Has the blood of Christ washed away your sin? Has God, through Christ and his finished work, saved your soul? Has the Holy Ghost worked in your heart? Do you know for sure? As Paul could say of these individuals, could we say of you, whose name is in the book of life? The diversity of those names, the duration of those names that are written. I want you to think thirdly of the delight of those whose names are written in the book of life. Our Lord Jesus said to the disciples when they returned from service and they overcame the devil and they cast out evil spirits, our Lord Jesus Christ said to them these words in Luke 10 and verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven," unquote. Rejoice, for your names are written in heaven. And there's nothing else worth rejoicing in this world of ours, but to know your sins forgiven, to have peace with God, is something more than gold. What a blessed privilege it is to know that your sins are forgiven, that it's well with your soul, and you're rejoicing in the knowledge that your name is in heaven. Your health may not be good. Your wealth may not be where you like it to be. Your bank balance, the prospects for the future. It may not seem that your life is as good as anyone else's. It may seem you live in obscurity and you just feel you're a nobody. Can I tell you something? If you have Christ and your name is in the book of life, you have everything in this world. And you don't need anything else. Only that which is basic and necessary for life. It's joy unspeakable to think that your name is written in heaven and it's known in heaven. Christ will, in the day of judgment and wrath, claim you for his own. He will confess you before his Father and the holy angels at his return. He will call you by your name and he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And the only thing we can truly rejoice in now and in eternity to come is in the truth that Christ died for our sins at the cross, that he suffered the just for us, the unjust, to bring us to God, that he offered one great sacrifice to turn away divine wrath and satisfy the legal requirements of divine justice in his life, righteousness, in his death, all the legal requirements of that just and holy law were fully met on the body of God's dear Son when he stood as our substitute, and there was a legal transaction and a transferal of sin with its punishment and its penalty, and he stood vicariously. That is, he stood as your substitute between you and a holy God. And God's wrath was poured out in your sin on the sinless body of his Son. And he paid the price in full with nothing left to pay, and rose from the dead because the sacrifice has been accepted. And now he's at God's right hand, a prince and a savior. And all you've got to do now is come and trust in his royal ruby redeeming blood to wash away your sin and give you peace with God. and to have your name written in the book of life. Now, to have your name written in the book of life, to know your sins forgiven, to have peace and joy with God, and to be sure of heaven and eternal life when you die, I want to tell you, my friend, that's the greatest privilege on this earth. Your name can be written in history books. Your name could be even inscribed on some granite memorial stone in the center of towns and cities in this province or in this world. I want to tell you, it could be etched upon a family and a loved one's mind forever. But if it's not written in heaven, it means absolutely nothing. Now I'm asking you, not for the last time, I'm asking you again, is your name written there? On those pages bright and fair, is your name written in the book of life? Whose names are in the book of life? The diversity, the duration, the delight. I want you to think fourthly and finally of the danger of not having your name written in the book of life. Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, did you hear that? Let me repeat the scripture to you. If you get nothing else out of this meeting, get this scripture text, get this Bible verse. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and there shall in no wise enter into it heaven. Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Think with me as we close out this gospel message now. God has a book, a faithful and reliable record, and names are inscribed there. They're not just names. They're sinners saved by grace. They're individuals converted to Christ. They're individuals known to the Lord. It's not just a collection of names that means nothing. The book of life means those that have life and will enjoy life in eternity to come. And it's the names of all those who have ever lived on this earth from the beginning of time to world's end, who have been saved by grace, born of the Spirit, and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. It contains the names of hopeless sinners. It contains the names of once deluded sinners, lost souls, but sinners who have looked away from their own good works and their church and the rites and rituals of all ceremonies and institutions and self-effort and charitable works and are trusting in Christ alone for salvation. The book of life, my friend, is the eternal record of the saved of this earth, of those who will escape the wrath to come and everlasting damnation and judgment in hell itself. Because their sins have been washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb, and now their names are inscribed eternally in the Lamb's book of life. Now tell me, is your name written there? On those pages bright and fair, is your name written in the book of life? When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Will you be present? Will you be pure and spotless through the crimson flood? Make sure tonight your name is there. By repenting now of your sin, believing that Christ died for your sins at the cross, tell the Lord you're sorry, repent. Tell the Lord that you will separate now from your sin. Confess that sin to Him as best as you can. And from the depths of your heart, with sincerity and humility, bow at the cross. Believe that Christ alone died for those sins, paid for those sins. God will accept nothing else beside the finished work, shed blood of the Lamb. And He sent His Son to pay for sin. And therefore you believe that God will accept you now through Christ the Savior, the Mediator, the Substitute. That God will pardon now all your sin, cleanse you in the Savior's blood. If you repent of that sin and believe that Christ died for those sins of yours at Calvary, and then invite Him into your heart, would you do that? Tell Him you're sorry. Tell Him now to come into your heart and to cleanse you from your sin, to be your Savior, and to help you live the Christian life by filling you with His Spirit. And I want to tell you, my friend, your name will be inscribed in the book of life. It'll never be erased. And you'll be able to say as you read Philippians 4 again, and especially verse 3, whose names, you'll be able to say, praise God, my name is in the book of life. Let's bow briefly in prayer. Our gracious, our loving and our eternal Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the soul-saving truths of Thy word. And we rejoice, our Father, those of us who are truly saved, that our names are written there on those pages bright and fair. Our names are written in the book of life. But there are some who do not have life, some who have never been washed in the Lamb's blood. Therefore, their names not written in the Lamb's book. And we pray that this night will be different, that they will hear like Lydia, whose name was inscribed all those centuries ago, that hearts would be open to attend to the things that are spoken in this virtual mission. God grant at home, in the lounge or the bedroom, in the car, out walking, listening. We pray, O God, if it's downloaded or received later on as a CD or DVD, that Thou would quicken the word, bring conviction for sin, repentance unto life, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. As the voice of man grows cold and silent, as it falls to the ground and dies, we pray, blessed Spirit of God, Thy still small voice will speak on, calling sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless the word preached now, and save the lost, we pray. And Father, in answer to our prayers, glorify Thy Son. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.